Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Roll Route, to the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food production and food consumption. It's Monday, and Lemming checking in. Lemming from north of Spring Valley, Nevada. Tank Vogler.
What time you got there, lad? What time you got?
I got an hour earlier than I did last week.
Okay. Well, everybody thinks it's pretty hooty, but I'm just pointing out how dysfunctional our government has become. Every year, practically, it is a bill proposal presented to Congress, and they can't agree on doing it. And there's a whole bunch of Western states and practically all of them that said, you know, fast time and leave it alone. But twice a year, they check to see if we're all still willing to be lemmings and jump off into the ocean and drown. I mean, that's all it amounts to. Statistically, everything is wrong. Heart attacks, car accidents, restaurants taking on the chin, and you just name it. And there's nothing about it that works, but we do it twice a year. And the hypocrisy is unbelievable.
I actually quoted you this morning on Across the Pond. I said, and Hank Vogler says that this is the government checking to make sure we're still compliant twice a year. And they don't call, he doesn't call us sheep. He calls us lemmings.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So what's going on in North Dakota?
Well, it's March the 11th, and it feels like middle of spring. It's been very open and not very snowy this year. Although nobody in North Dakota wants you to know that. We want you to think that it's 22 below. The snow continues to blow up your address. Just don't want to move here.
Well, we have had no winter to speak of. The biggest snowfall we've had all winter was last week when I had to shear some sheep, and that was fun. We finally got it done day before yesterday, and we've had no winter, but yet they say we're 110% of normal. Well, I can't believe that we are. There's just no way that an inch of snow is the most we've had. Usually we have 25, 35 days below zero. And we've had maybe 5 days since November below zero. Yeah, It's unbelievable. In fact, we got a band on the trail, and they went by one of the places that Forest Service opened up the pinyon and juniper canopy. And we had got in that terrible windstorm, terrible snowstorm, whatever you want to call it, blizzard, they called it. No snow fell, just dirt. And they pulled up into the forest and got on that green grass. We just found them yesterday, about 60 head of them. Just, I mean, it's just unbelievable. This is March. This is not May. So, and so, I have something I have to ask.
I got to tell you this story before you do that.
All right.
I was talking about Donner Pass getting 14 foot of snow last week on Thursday and Friday, because I saw a forecast. I saw it coming for a big chunk of the Sierra Nevadas, and apparently people didn't know it because I see so many people got stranded and on Interstate 80 at Donner's Pass. So when I got to North Dakota Friday evening, a gentleman, friend of mine, longtime friend of mine, he actually said, Trent, I heard you guys talking about Donner's Pass on. Because Andrew, I was sharing this with Andrew in the UK, he had no idea about the Donner Party. He didn't know any of that, right? So this friend of mine, it said that at one point in time, he hired an attorney who was a female. He said, she might be the meanest individual I've ever met. Fortunately, she was working for me, and somebody would get in her negotiations, she'd just rip them apart. And I finally turned to her and I said, you'd eat your own young, wouldn't you? And she said, well, turns out her family name is Reed. And her grandparents were the only two survivors of Donner's Pass.
Sounds like what four or five of my ex-wives, by golly. Or eight or nine, or old what's her name was that way, pretty bad.
Oh, what's her name? Oh my goodness. Amazingly, I gotta find this woman. He thinks she's still alive in San Francisco. I want to get her on the radio.
And ironically, this is what I wanted you to talk about.
eating your fellow man.
No, you were telling me about this atmospheric river. You knew it was coming. What, you know, was it in the Farmer's Almanac? Was it just a premonition? How did you know we were going to get such a huge winter on the Sierra Nevadas? You mentioned it before. I knew it was coming. I knew it. Well, how'd you know it?
So I went back to that, the cycles. Every 200 years, California gets the atmospheric river. And the one in 1862 to 1863 was most severe. The most severe one in history was 414. I don't know how good the history books are when they were written in 414, but I guess the Bible would be a good testament that we can do that. But anyway, the people who do meteorological work have been studying this, have been talking about for 6 months that this is the year that will parallel that atmospheric river in the early 1860s. And so I was just paying attention to people who really study how these cyclical weather patterns work.
Well, I just ran onto the 1860s three or four months ago myself, but the one that was so pronounced in this area out here was there was two or three years in the 1890s that were horrific Harold Sparks went into winter with 65,000 mother cows or cattle. That's what they said. And the next spring they had 120 some, or so. It was ridiculous. It broke Sparks. He moved over to Sparks out of Reno and became governor, one term governor. But anyhow, all of them talk about is the winter of 48 and 49. But then the people that I met that were here and were adults at that time said they sandbagged Dealey. They had everything ready. They had the hay lift. They had everything going. But the snow was so dry, when it went away, it didn't even make a puddle. So, there's a kind of a catastrophic event that's going to come along. It's called Ma Nature. She's meaner than several of my ex-wives, too. So.
Well, it worked for Charlie Russell, though. But what is 1889, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that is in the 1880s, the last of the 5,000. So, yeah. It's nothing new. But so are we going to bend, are the frog lickers going to say it's climate change?
Yeah, they're going to
say it's a global winter. Anything. It's just, controlling power.
So I think Nebraska was 18, January of 1889, I think, because it's called the Schoolhouse Blizzard. And there were kids that died and kids that got trapped at the schoolhouse. And there was many heroic results of that. But I'm pretty sure that I'll look it up quick. But I think it was January of 1888.
Yeah. But then statistically, in 1952, in March of all times, they had a huge, the record snowfall for this area out here in 1952, 3 years after the bad winter of 48, 49. So, in fact, my mother's always told the story when I was born. She was on her way to the hospital in Pendleton, Oregon. And the roads were washing out behind them. It was thawing out in that country, and they had record snowfalls out of Echo and Stanfield in that country along the Columbia River. So, and how did my Uncle Charlie take a freight wagon across the Columbia River? All right, maybe he was at the headwaters in Canada, but because he's Indian, they wouldn't let him. They made him wait to the last. They wouldn't let him on the ferry and all of that kind of stuff. And that was before all the dams were built. And he had to have some pretty big nards, but he went across on the ice, across the Columbia River.
It's World Route. Hank Vogel, Trent Luce. I looked it up for sure. It was January 1888, the schoolhouse blizzard. We'll be back with more. Mother Nature 101 after this. Right off the bat today, let's talk about tender beef, and in particular, the Great Plains cattlemen working together to produce certified Piedmontese. The Piedmontese breed possesses the tenderness gene. That's what you care about, because as a consumer, you want to make sure that you're going to have a tender eating experience every single time. The best part of this deal is you don't need to go to the store. We deliver the tender beef to your door. Details about the entire protein plethora can be found on the web at cpbeef.com. And don't forget, I like to talk about the beef because I'm part of the supply chain, but there is every meat you can find on cpbeef.com. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis, alongside Hank Vogler. I want to stay on that a moment, because if you don't have to be a real good student of the Oregon Trail or any of those events that are so historic and had the migration west, the death toll was significant. Wasn't it 4,000 some died on the Oregon Trail just trying to go west?
Well, and, you know, you talk about your basic illegal immigration. There's, whether it's a historical fact or legend, the natives, the Indians, set the whole Horse Heaven Hills on fire. They set huge fires out of Pendleton along the Columbia River to burn up the grass, hoping that the wagon trains would, the people coming through it, starve to death. There's other indications that the migration along the Humboldt, that there were so many people heading for California for the gold rush that you couldn't stay on the trail. You had to get 20 miles off the trail to feed your animals. They didn't have those Tesla charge stations in those days. I mean, just all of these things, we don't want to talk about them. We don't want to talk about the sign that's over at Antelope Springs that said that, I think it was like the 3rd of August, they were in there and there was a quarter inch of ice on the water bucket. So, I mean, there's always been. What was the mountain? It was not Krakatoa, it was Timba Boomba Boomba or whatever. It blew up in the 1800s. They called it the summer without sun. And they had crops that failed. They had all kinds of things. We had the little ice age, which caused the 100 years war in Europe. I mean, you know, get over yourself. Why do we think we need to be scared all the time? You want to scare me? Let's talk about every 100 days we owe another $1 trillion. You want to scare me? I sat there at the ranch meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning yesterday. Leo's been talking to folks back in the old country, and they emptied the jails out, put them on an airplane, shipped them to America. Now there's some decent people that are crossing that border that want a better life, and Biden lied to them too. But there's a bunch of bad hombres passing across that border. I mean, and he's from Chile, and to be astonished about that. And we've got people in this country, the streets of Washington, D.C. should be full of people protesting every day. I mean, this is nuts.
Mount Tambora, 1816, was a summer without sun. And the other thing is, I was going to say 40,000 died on the Oregon Trail, but I knew that was just too crazy. No, it wasn't. It was nearly 40,000. One in 10 people who went west on the Oregon Trail died.
Yeah. And today, if you follow that route coming up over, Cabbage Hill and on over into La Grande, there's two distinct things that I saw. The timber is so thick and so jungly, they'd still be up there with an axe making a hole through the trees. So it had to be a little bit of open savanna. And then I read in the diaries, when I had my carpal tunnel a long time ago, and in those days you had to hold your hand up above your head for 2 or 3 days. So I got these books and I read them. and they had excerpts out of diaries. And some people coming through Baker Valley. You've been to Baker Valley, Oregon, Baker City, Oregon, through that country. This lady wrote in her diary, the sagebrush is so high, it's dragging the bottoms off of our wagons. And we have to change lead wagons every day to break the hole through the sagebrush. Wow. And it's so far from timber. It's so far from timber that we don't know that we'll be able to replace the bottoms of our wagons with new boards. Well, okay, Baker City, Oregon, when those evil Europeans came there, pushed a little water around through a few ditches, started raising a little hay, and even with their timber culture and cutting trees to sell to build the cities, it's a completely different place. And yet we want to go back to this prehistoric, perfect, pristine deal so we can go to Colorado and get our frogs and bring them home and lick them. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't get it.
You know, that continues to be the problem. What we're talking about right now is the problem. There's a significant number of people who believe that time it was all pristine and we've just screwed it up ever since. Can you imagine any journey today where if you knowingly make it, there's a 10% chance you're going to die? Where would that be today? Other than going to Chile through Panama Canal.
Probably New York City.
That's not funny. Because it's sadly true.
Yeah. If you take just all the major cities that are controlled by one particular party in our country, the murder rate is huge. If you take all the rest of the country, we're like, out of 150 nations, we're 157. I mean, it's just, the statistics just don't match anything. But yeah, if you want to die, I'm sure that there's places in Africa. I'm sure there's places in Eastern Europe. There's just so many things that we try and fluff up, you know. Nothing to see here, folks. Move along. Yeah.
Okay, so now I want to come back to what I don't remember who you said told you this from Chile, but how many countries are emptying their jails and sending people here?
I bet they all are. That's what they did in the Muriel boat lift. That's what Castro did. He emptied his jails out, sent them all to America. They just picked up a guy a couple days ago, I think, that was from Honduras, that was wanted for murder in Honduras. And he was a gotaway. If you're a dictator, if you're Venezuela, they're talking about it right and left, that he emptied, and Maduro emptied out his jails. So, I mean, wow. All just so you can stay in power? So these people, they want to count them in the next census for voting districts, all of these things.
I don't believe that, Hank. I don't believe the onslaught of illegal thugs coming into this country has anything to do with voting. I think it has to do with creating chaos, creating sleeper cells so that they can destroy what we've built.
Either way, it's not going to be good for the people in this country that believe in how it was founded. That's the problem. Pick any flavor of chaos that you want, but it's all to keep one group in power or to destroy the country that has been the shining city on the hill for all these years, the beacon of hope for the world. And we're going to destroy all of that just because we can. I know I refer back to it too many times, but all these progressive elitists that think they know what's best for the country, Marie Antoinette thought that too. And when they stormed the Bastille, they cut their heads off because all the farmers had were pitchforks and shovels and axes. But so the elites don't work out too well in these deals either.
You know what I learned? You talk about that all the time, but I went researching the history of the town named Luce, France. That was right in the center of what you just talked about.
Yeah. So,
I'm thinking I got some ancestors that were carrying pitchforks. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I didn't think I had anything tied to France in me, but apparently there's a town named Luce, France, so it's a little tough to argue.
Well, what about, you got anybody named Reed in your background that might have went across the Donner Pass?
Well, they were from Springfield, Illinois, now that you mention it.
I'm gonna have Todd look that up. I mean, I can kind of understand why some of my ex-wives were the way they were. I don't know.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, I had a good one. I better leave it be. We're at halftime. Hank Vogler, Trent Luce. We're back with more Roll Route and no discussion about cannibalism. Actually, no promises. Second half just ahead. Let's talk about country music and Christian music. The same. That's the same for Greg Hager. It all goes back to his country roots, and his country songs keep you in boots. Trust me, it keeps the nation in boots. It will if you understand and you hear and you feel what it is that Greg Hager brings to you song after song. All of the albums can be found online, greghager.com. Check out what his touring schedule is. You can buy an album. You can just go right there and get them. Or better yet, here's what I suggest. If you've got a meeting coming up and you want to have somebody that will literally entertain and jet... inspire, it's about inspiration. That's what Greg Hager does. greghager.com. Check out his videos. I need to make a video. That's what I need to do today. greghager.com. Welcome back, Roll Route, Trent Luce. Into the second half with Hank Vogler, White Pine County Commissioner. Hey, apparently you're not making up the story about the federal government wanting to cover the entire West with the dreaded solar panels. Other people are starting to talk about it now.
Well, welcome to the party. I mean, like I say, there's probably not 10 people in Washington, D.C. that could find White Pine County or Northern Nevada. They can find Las Vegas or Reno maybe, and all of a sudden every square inch of our county seems to have a project in mind. And everywhere else up, I'm on the board of directors of Salmon River Cattlemen Association, and they're trying to put these wind farms all up and down the Snake River, and just, I mean, it's just the whole West. This is it. But yet if all these solar panels are all hooked up and that's all we use, it'll run the United States for what, 5 minutes?
Yep.
Wow. And that's just really cool.
And just as an ongoing saga, because I will not let it go, every week I reach out to Megan Delaney with Nevada Energy asking how they segregate that power for the Super Bowl, and she refuses to answer my question. And now I doubt there's even a battery, Hank, because they're promoting they had a battery that'll hold electricity for 5 hours. That battery, if it existed, would cost $1.50 per kilowatt hour. And I think the whole thing's a fraud, and I'm not going to go away until they answer the question. Because I looked at what the lithium, I mean, my mom even said there's now reports of scooters that have a lithium battery in them just catching on fire sitting in a garage. The lithium battery is apparently quite dangerous.
And I'm sure that there's always going to be a use for them, but moving 500,000 pounds to make one car of earth, you're going to start running out of earth, I think, after a while. There's a huge, this is part of what's on the board of directors radar right now. They found a huge deposit of lithium that's bigger than Thacker Pass, there where I run my cattle in the summertime. And of course, the mineral rights in Nevada are separate from surface rights. So, you know, are they going to come in and tear up 10,000 acres of pasture and tell us to go pound sand?
Yes.
I mean, there's just,
they are.
They're and on these deserts where they want to put these solar panels, as soon as you start tramping across that desert with vehicles, you don't even have to plow them. Those vehicle tracks turn into halogen, which is poisonous, you know. And I the hunters have got to come on board too. They want to get rid of the hunting. They'll, any reason to own a weapon is part of the program, you know. I mean, has there been changes? When we were hunter-gatherers, there was a hierarchy. I'm sure of it. But once we started farming and raising crops, surplus crops, the civilization of this world started to expand and do things. But once they took that water out of the Nile or the Jordan or the Rhine, whatever river that they diverted by throwing rocks in the river to back it up and put it in a ditch and started raising crops, there were people that were then released to do other things besides trying to sneak up on a rat to have something to eat for dinner. I mean, how ridiculous do we want to get? And now we're going to take basically lithium, which, you know, there's a couple of kids I believe in a garage somewhere that are going to figure out how to make a nuclear power plant the size of a bathtub that'll run Seattle. It's the cheapest electricity. It's abundant. Everything about it works. Oh, by the way, you can make a bomb out of it if you're from Iran. I mean, so all of this stuff is out there. Hydrogen. Somebody's going to figure that one out. They're trying to even burn CO2, which I have a little tough swallow on that one, but I guess they can do it. All of these things are out there. And they don't have near the control because it's going to take private enterprise, private funding, private. Because when the government gets into it, it's kickback city. In fact, I'm thinking about having my name changed, my middle name, instead of none of the above, to maybe kickback. I got bills to pay too, by golly. I mean, what a country.
Well, I, you and I, we talk about it every week. I'm on this path every single day, and it's perplexing to me the number of people that are just still ignorant that any of this is taking place. They don't want to know. They just, well, you know, I don't engage in politics. Well, you're going to engage pretty quick. Okay, I even had somebody this week in North Dakota quoted Hank Vogler in the middle of a meeting I was at. They said, well, like Hank Vogler says, they'll pay attention when their belly button's banging their backbone.
Well, and, you know, boys and girls, I don't know about back in Massachusetts or the original colonies, but I think if you look up the deed on your property far enough back in Nebraska or North Dakota, it's going to say that it used to belong to the federal government. And someday, if they decide that they want to let the rats migrate or the frogs live in your front yard, whatever it is, and they knock on your door and say, you're out of here. We got a bulldozer. We're going to knock this down. That sounds a little far-fetched.
No, that's happening. That's exactly what's happening right there.
Yeah, we got to have these wildlife corridors. We got to have all these things, you know.
Yeah, now Colorado is not only did Colorado turn loose wolves, now they're going to turn loose weasels, wolverines.
Oh, and mountain lions. They're trying to pass a bill now that you can't shoot bobcats or mountain lions for any reason whatsoever. Rewilding. We're rewilding Colorado. Well, okay, if you're going to rewild Colorado, why don't we start in Denver? You know, Denver, Colorado, one of the reasons it was there was the banking for the mining industry is what started a lot of Denver, Colorado. I think it's changed a little bit, but I mean,
unless banking you just for illegal drugs.
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, so in today's world unless you're just on that ticky-talky or whatever that is and watching the somebody sent me a picture of an Arctic fox. It turned white. It was a young pup that was running through the snow and then diving down in the snow trying to catch a rat. And it was so cute. Well, yeah, unless you're the rat that he caught. I don't think that thing caught it. But, you know, I mean, common sense is a curse. You spend your whole day trying to explain it to people that don't have it. I mean, you just can't do it. It's just, you know, a dear friend of mine, I think the world of them, we're practically like brothers. Talk to him two or three times a week. No, I don't pay attention to that crap. The Orangeman, he's one of them. I said, well, what about Pinocchio Joe? I don't care. I'm too old. Well, okay, so your kids, you don't care about your kids, what world they're going to grow up in or grown up in, your grandkids? Where are we at with this deal? I mean, it's just, I'm going to go play golf. Well, okay, that's good.
No, that's the typical person right there. You just described the typical person in this country. In fact, on my across the pond this morning, I posed a question because I brought up that 42% of the U.S. GDP is government spending. If we were to go to any mall America, I don't care what town you want to be in, don't matter. And I went up and asked 20 people what the GDP was. How many would explain it to me?
Got dumb quickly or something, GDP or something like that. Yeah. But the more, and it's such a perfect plan. The more people you get hooked on to the government's mother tit, the harder it's going to be able to get any of them off, because immediately you have this giant grassroots group of people that are willing to go out and say, Mom, Dad, you got to vote for Pinocchio Joe, or me and the wife and the seven kids are moving into your basement because they're going to take our government job away from us. Well, so pretty quick, they got everybody in the family voting for Pinocchio Joe. So 42% of the spending is going for recruiters. Basically, yeah. You know, I don't care how much, you know, the local government offices here are full of people that hunt, a lot of them. And boy, they're for gun rights and everything else. But I'll bet you money marbles or chalk, when they walk into that voting booth or mail in that ballot, it's straight bullet Democrat, because they know, even though the Republicans don't seem to be able to get anything done either, can't even get the clock straightened out.
you got that right.
They're going to vote for the guy that brought them to the dance. You know, heck, even the employment. I think of every month they have that employment figure. I think the largest figure on there is not manufacturing. It's not restaurateurs. It's government jobs. So we're getting more, the recruitment is on, 50,000 a month or 100,000 or whatever it is.
If you count contractors for the federal government, the estimate is just short of 20 million people work for the government today.
Yeah. So there's 20 million people that are going to go out and get 40 million people, mom and dad and the cousins and the aunts and the uncles. At least 40 million people are going to vote to keep the gravy train going.
And if we don't fix the voting system, it doesn't matter. It's a selection, not an election. Hank Vogler, one segment for All Route after this. Let's talk about pest control in particular. I'm talking about weeds and insects. Apache Sprayers gives you, the farmer, the flexibility to get it done with the least amount of chemical necessary. It's all about precision agriculture, getting exactly what we need, where we need it, and of the least amount possible. Simpson Farm Enterprises brings you the reliability and service that's second to none. SimpsonFarm.com and HighPlainsApache.com. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, into the final segment. Hank Vogler alongside. I want to shift gears a bit, although still talking about an abusive spending pattern of the federal government. We see that the House has submitted a spending package, which is bigger than anything that happened under Pelosi, I'm told. It doesn't matter who the leadership is. It just continues to be a runaway train. But the part about that I want to talk about is that there's tremendous discussion about the $15 million within that spending package that is devoted to the infrastructure to mandate a radio frequency ID tag in a cow, mandated electric identification of a cow. What say you?
My cows are already under surveillance. Can't they about count the cows in a feedlot from a satellite right now?
Yeah.
So, okay. So they want to have individual ID in the cows? Why am I not surprised? I'm not surprised. And I'm not changing the subject. But the most astonishing thing of all, this should resonate through everybody's mind. There is a proposal, it's a rule and a regulation that is supposed to go into effect. I have been told by very reliable sources that if the government gets it done, they want me to pay an asylum fee that goes to the illegal aliens, $300 per person that I bring in here legally to herd sheep. H-2A program. Now, the H-2A program goes to people that are picking watermelons, lettuce, asparagus, all these agricultural crops. $300. And I don't know how many millions of people that come in on those H-2A programs. When I had my sheep in Imperial Valley, California, I bet you there was 50 green bus school buses that came across that border, bringing those people in there to work. And then they lived in Mexico. It was cheaper. I got a haircut for $1.50. It's great. So, I mean, those disparities alone is going to cost the Need More Sheep Company at least $7,000 every year. And if they come and go, I guess every time one of them quits or runs away, you get a new guy, you got to give them another $300. They're trying to kill agriculture, I guess. Do you think that if I get flown from Venezuela to the United States, I get put up in a 5-star hotel, they give me a credit card with $5,000 on it, they feed me, they do everything in the world, I don't have to work for it, suddenly it's going to go, man, I'm going to go out there where it's about 40 below zero, herd sheep. You got to be out of your mind. They're not going to do that. And we're doing this with everything. ID, they also want to feed them a certain ration so they don't put out as much carbon dioxide or something like that. Well, what about that 60 million buffalo that used to be here? Did they pee rose water? And no flatulent? They weren't ruminants? What about the wildebeest? What about all the African animals, you know? And what about the Chinese building a new coal-fired plant every week or whatever that is? I mean,
they're permitting two every day. You know, just keep telling they're not building two, but they're permitting two every day.
Yeah. And they want to ID my cows. ID about what? That's what Eddie would say. I want to see your ID. ID about what? And they look at you like,
well,
a little different language in Alabama.
What it is humoring me is that this is not the first time. In 2006, under Bush and Mike Johanns, the Secretary of Agriculture, in August, they announced that they were going to put a mandate in for a national ID system in cows, all animals at the time. And people threw such a fit that by December, they rescinded that and didn't pursue it any further until 2024. Now everybody kind of thinks it's something new. It's not new. We got it beat back once.
No. Well, it was the old BSE trick, you know.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Like, you know, it's like every year I got to go to the meeting with the Nevada Department of Wildlife wanting to know where my sheep are going to be at. And their excuse was, is this ewe and a ram marched off the top of this mountain, crossed a highway, crossed a river, and a real river, and got over there. They got into my sheep. They got past the guard dogs because I can't even put my rams in there with without tying up the guard dogs or packing the sheep around the trailer because the guard dogs won't put up with it. Got by the sheep herder. Out of 2,200 noses, they found the one that was shedding the virus, which is shipping fever, a pneumonia, and then were in jeopardy to die, so they went and shot him. But they can't remember what the necropsy was. They can't. Nobody saw him. The sheep herd. Nobody saw him. And so I said, "Well, who did the veterinary work?" Well, why? And I said, "Well, I just thought maybe Tony Fauci was your veterinarian. I didn't know." They didn't like that. I mean, yeah,
yeah. But here's the deal. I mean,
what is this?
You can't haul an animal across the state line without a paper, health paper, and an individual ID of some sort. Unless that animal is going to a harvest. Okay. And you have the brand system. And I talked to my brand guy about this, and he said, "Well, I barely can get through and see all the cattle and their brands. If I have to scan a tag in order to be able to generate a brand release," which I recognize not a big part of the country deals with brand laws, but I happen to, and you happen to live in an area where we do, you're going to exponentially increase the cost of transferring these animals to the point where, again, to your point, you just can't afford to do it.
Yeah. Well, and just right here, if I go to Fallon, Nevada, I get one brand inspection because that's in the state. But it's a lot further than Fallon, Nevada, and sometimes the winter it can be tougher to get there because of all the mountain ranges you got to go over. But if I go to Idaho, they get brand inspected when they get on the bus. When they get off of the bus in Idaho, they get brand inspected again. So I get done twice.
Oh, geez.
For just brand inspections. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. But hey, let's make it that much more complicated. Let's make it cost the producer that much more money. That's the way to make it. The groceries will go down by 50% if we keep making it harder and harder and harder to raise beef, you know. And now they got the panic, and I love it. We either have the lowest number of cows since 73 years. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, I was 2 years old 73 years ago. If you look at a 4-H steer and a 12-year-old kid holding the halter in 1955, him and a steer are about the same height.
Yep.
Now, little kid standing there next to this elephant. You know, I mean, we're raising more pounds of meat per cow than we ever did.
Three times. And
guess what? Guess what? We've made it more affordable. We have made it 10 times more affordable. We can't stop fires all the time. We can't stop droughts. We can't stop issues like that. It just happens. So and people can't afford to raise cattle, so they sell them. And then all of a sudden, the price of meat goes up because transportation, slaughterhouse costs, everything you do goes up. And when it gets to the supermarket, it's cost plus when it hits the shelf. And then you want to blame. You want to blame, you know, some guy out in the middle of the Arizona desert that it's his fault that the price of meat went up? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I don't yet have a handle, and I need to do that today, get a handle on what the impact's going to be of this Texas fire. You know, we had one energy company, and I haven't learned yet if it was the operating gear on a wind turbine or what, but XL Energy announced on Thursday that they are responsible for starting that Texas smokehouse fire, which I believe is at 1 million acres.
Over.
Yeah. But for a company to right away the first week say we caused that, if you have a complaint or a claim, here's the number to get a hold of, that there's something off about that, Hank.
Oh boy. Yeah. Ordinarily, I know not, you know, Sergeant Schultz. I know nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know.
I thought that was on itself.
And here they are fessing up that they caused it. And here's where you go if you got a claim. I mean, there's something going on there.
Look at the railroad that tipped over in Palestine, Iowa, or wherever that
Ohio.
Was.
Ohio.
They didn't do anything wrong. No. That we didn't do that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Makes sense to me. Yeah,
I had 57 cars of coal flip over 30 miles from my house. I got it all videoed.
They had a bunch of carloads of corn tip over in Elko, right downtown Elko.
Did you go with a semi truck there to help them clean it up?
Oh, I got beat out faster than fast. I didn't even have the truck fired up or the sacks in the back when that dirty son of a gun. And that's, you know, give me a farmer any day. He figures somehow to cut his costs so he can raise more food so more people can complain about him raising food. Yes, sir, Bob. Why, you couldn't get in a half a mile and then lined up across the street.
What did they say caused that train to flip over?
It was under investigation, last I heard.
Yeah.
But they probably, a wheel come off the buggy or who knows. But they were all corn cars. There's six or seven of them flipped over right in Elko. And they shut the road down. I'm going over to Lamoille and Spring Creek, which is where the suburb of Elko is. And it caused a lot of trouble for a while.
Hmm.
So anyhow, yeah.
I'll bet somebody named Bazzetti showed up down there with a sack and got some corn out of that.
I wouldn't be surprised. If she did, no more wood, Rachel. You're not getting any more wood from the Naples company. You could have called me. You could have took a couple of sacks for me. No.
Yeah, we have successfully journeyed down the path connecting food producers to food consumers. For Hank Vogler, I'm Trent Lewis. Both of us reminding you that all roads do lead to it. Roll around. All right, corn derailment or not, corn on a train derailment. I want to remind you about nitric oxide, the element that you need to have in your body properly or you're not going to be healthy. I hate it to break it to you, but that's just the way that it is. Honestly, you need to have the correct level of nitric oxide. I start every morning with a nitric oxide supplement, the little lozenges that I just put in my mouth and let it dissolve while my coffee's boiling on the stove. NOTU.com, nitric oxide, number two, letter U.com, NOTU.com. Trent is your coupon code. Most importantly, go read the literature of the scientific discovery that Dr. Nathan Bryan's been on top of, NOTU.com.